An estimated 20,000 armed security contractors are sharing some of the same battlefields as the U.S. military in Iraq. Their role is to provide security where regular forces can't, including such high-profile tasks as protecting Paul Bremer, the head of the Coalition Provisional Authority. Washington Post reporter Dana Priest has been investigating the changing roles of these private security companies. She says it's unclear precisely how many of them are working in Iraq and who has legal authority over them.
They don't fall under the Uniform Military Code of Justice. If you ask them, well, what do you fall under in terms of a system that might oversee you or bring people that misact, that act in a wrong way to some kind of judicial system, well, that it gets very murky because they'll say, you know, if someone did something wrong, you could call on the FBI. The other answer is, well, after June 30th, it'll be the Iraqi court system and police system, but we also know that is so overtaxed that no one would ever expect them to be able to function that way right away. Most of them are there to be defensive, to protect people and installations. But every day they come under attack, or they believe they come under attack. I'm not saying all of them do, but every day there are instances in which shots are fired in both directions. Both the Defense Department, commanders on the ground, the CPA, and the contractors are figuring out quickly what to do about it. Is since last week, when all this violence re-erupted in Iraq, the security contractors have become targets, and they have realized that they cannot rely on the U.S. or coalition forces to rescue them in situations where their lives are at stake.
And as these private security firms increasingly find themselves in a defensive posture, you note that they're banding together in a loose federation, something you describe as the largest private army in the world. How unusual is this, and does the military have any reservations about that?
It's highly unusual, first their numbers, but also the situation that they're in, and then secondly that they would band together in an informal way because they're highly competitive with one another. But as a result of the things that happened this last week, starting with the four Blackwater employees who were killed and mutilated in Fallujah, and the lack of a U.S. response, military response, to help out in that situation and others that followed, they realize they cannot rely on the military, and therefore they have banded together to try to figure out how can we rescue ourselves better collectively. Can we share numbers? Can we share operational information that we have? Another problem that they're having with the military is they won't share with them any of the real-time intelligence they have, and therefore they don't even really know if they're about to walk into a place that not yesterday was a problem, but today is a problem.
Dana, you mentioned the expected handover on June 30th. How will the role of these private security firms change with that handover of power?
Well, it's something they're extremely concerned about because, first of all, there'll be more of them. The demand for that kind of service will go up. At the same time, they won't know who it is in the Iraqi government who is supposed to come to their aid or under what laws they are now supposed to operate, because, of course, those questions haven't been settled for anybody yet. So they are rather panicked about it, mainly because of the violence that's flared up, and they have absolutely become targets of that violence.
Dana, thanks for speaking to us.
Thank you, Michelle.
Dana Priest is a reporter for The Washington Post.